Happy Monday, everyone. I'm Pam Spath, your host, and this is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. You know, I always love when I have a really great, great, great romantic suspense author on. There is none better than my guest tonight, Julianne Walker, who, as you know, is one of my favorite people and one of my favorite writers. And she's back to tell us about the Deep Six Boys, who are ex-military. We're going to just love talking about her. So say hello, everyone, to Julianne Walker. Hi, Jules. Welcome back to Authors on the Air.
Hi, Pam. Always a pleasure to be here. I love it every time. It's new and fun and exciting. You always keep me on my toes.
It always is. I don't know about that, but you're certainly keeping me on my reading toes. I absolutely adore the new series that you started, The Deep Six Boys. And I always say boys, but boy, are they hotties too. These are ex-military guys who kind of live on this island by themselves, which is odd, but for a good reason. They are treasure hunters, aren't they?
Yes, exactly. So I kind of like to tell people that the Deep Six series is, it's going to be a series of six books, but I like to tell people that it's sort of like Goonies for adults. because it is, it's this, you know, group of guys, this band of brothers, who are former Navy SEALs who have teamed together to, hunt for the Holy Grail of sunken Spanish shipwrecks. So it is, there's a lot of action and adventure, and because it's romantic suspense, there's a lot of sexy times and good guy girl interaction going on. But yeah, so it's sort of the Goonies for adults. So if you like the Goonies and you're an adult, you should try out the series.
I'm telling you, I have said this more times than to people who ask about it. I say, imagine the knights on their motorcycles. Well, just put the same hunks in the boat, under the same situations and suspenseful situations, and you've got the guys from the Deep Six.
You're talking about the BKI series of Black Knights, which, yes,
right.
It's a very similar sort of band of brothers feel. Both series are. It's just for the Black Knights, they're covert operators who operate under the guise of a custom motorcycle shop. So I like to say that they're, you know, Grease Monkey Motorcycle Mechanics by day and Uncle Sam's Last Resort by night. So, yeah, they're very similar sort of situation. There's a little more action and adventure ish in the Deep Six series, just because it is a treasure hunting series. But these are six former Navy SEALs, and sort of their past refuses to let them be just civilians. Their past keeps, you know, cropping up its ugly head, and they keep getting, you know, themselves into these situations that are very much sort of echoing of the Black Knight situations, where there's, you know, car chases and, or in the Deep Six series, boat chases and gun standoff and stuff like that. So it's a ton of fun. In the Deep Six series, there's a little more adventure in the terms that, like in the newest release that just came out, Devil in the Deep, you know, there's that whole thing where they're stuck on a deserted island and they have to swim through a watery tunnel and all that kind of stuff, which is very reminiscent of the Goonies series. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun, and I love it because it's not too far off the coast from where I live in Southwest Florida. And so sometimes I'm thinking, I kind of know where the Marquesas are, and I know where all those other places are and the forts and everything. So it's pretty cool. You know, I know that you and your husband travel a whole lot. Have you traveled down to the Caribbean?
Absolutely. So to do the research for the Deep Six series, this was back in the winter of 2014, before the first book in the Deep Six series came out and before I even started writing it, we actually went down to Key West January and February and lived there for those 2 months. And then directly following that.
It's wild, isn't it? It's wild in Key West during those months. Oh, my God.
Yes, it is.
You cannot describe that to anybody They have to limit themselves, don't they?
Yes, yes,
truly.
It is. It's crazy. You have tons of tourists, but then you have the locals, and it's just a really fun mix of people down in Key West. So, yeah, we enjoy
it's really
our time
whack.
There.
I say that, too. It is
yes,
whack.
It is.
And I'll tell you
yes,
what, can you understand why so many writers love going to the Keys? I mean, doesn't it put you in the frame of mind?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Yes, Ernest Hemingway had it right when he spent his time down in Key West.
I'm telling you,
something about the atmosphere down there. I mean, you do sort of feel yourself separated from the world. It is that
yes.
island mentality type of situation,
yes.
which, of course, most writers are, we're hermits anyway. We like to be kind of squirreled away somewhere where no one can get to us so that we can work on our craft. So, yeah, the island setting just really speaks to authors in that respect. But then, I mean, Key West is like, it's crazy good for,
cuckoo,
you know,
yeah.
character watching and just
yeah.
all of that kind of good stuff. I mean, you cannot get any better than Key West when it comes to some interesting characters that you can try to fit into
oh, gotcha.
Somehow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to. You really have to. So, did you go boating quite a bit when you were down there? Did you have a chance
we
to
did.
Go?
We did. We went.
Okay.
We did. We went boating. When we were there, we took and it's the setting for the second book in the Deep Six series, Devil in the Deep, the one that just came out. We actually took mm-hmm. a float plane out to the Dry Tortugas.
Right.
Which, if you haven't had the opportunity to be there, is one of the most amazing things
beautiful.
You'll ever see because
yeah.
it's just these little sort of strip of islands. And when I say islands, I'm being they're not really islands;
like
they're islets.
Little clumps of sand coming out of the water, and if you're
exactly.
lucky, you have a palm tree or something on it. But most of them,
right,
they just literally
right.
are sticking up. It could be a sandbar almost.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
And on the biggest one is a full-fledged 1800s fort, which is,
right.
of course, crumbling and in ruins and everything. But you can still go tour it, and it's amazing. And I have a funny story about talking about the characters on Key West taking the float plane out there in that, you know, you're on this float plane that holds between 6 and 8 passengers. And when you go to the Key
right.
West airport, they you know, you have to walk out to the tarmac, and they open the door to the plane,
right.
and they shove you in. So we're all sitting in the plane, and there's this a homeless man walking across the tarmac in Key West. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, how'd he get into the airport? You know, what's going to happen? Because he was wearing this, like, stained wife beater, you know, white tank top. He had cut-off jean mm-hmm. shorts. He had this, like, raggedy beard that hung down to his chest, and he was barefoot. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, you know, what's this going to happen? I'm watching all of this, and he walks up to the plane, opens the pilot side door, and jumps in.
There you go. That was your pilot. There you go. You have to understand. Now, you have to explain, though, to everybody that if you have anything more than shorts, flip-flops, and a sleeveless tee on, you're overdressed. I mean,
yes,
that's all
absolutely.
There is to it.
And it doesn't matter if you're going to the nicest restaurant on the island. That's how
exactly.
you dress.
That's how
yeah.
you dress. Yes, that
right.
that is definitely the Keys vibe for sure. And it's so funny because when you leave the county, Monroe County, you really do know that you've left the island. It's a tangible change. You notice it immediately,
is.
Don't you? Yeah.
Yes, you do.
It's a really great place to hang out and just release all the tension. You cannot have any tension or any worries when you're down there.
No.
It's just
everything moves at a
people are so
pace.
Laid back and
yeah.
friendly.
Yeah.
Yes.
yeah.
They are. They
yeah.
are. So it was hard to leave and go back to the winter where you
right.
live, I bet. Huh?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Chicago. Yeah, that is. Which
so
sort
you,
of taught
but
me
you
a
got
lesson,
plenty
which
of
is that. Go ahead.
What's that? No.
Yeah.
Tell me your lesson. I got to hear this.
My lesson is that anytime I can leave Chicago in the winter, I do, which brings me to this winter,
yeah.
which we spent 2 months in, 2 months in New Orleans. So, you know, there's got to be a series coming that's set in New Orleans sometime soon.
Oh, I love that.
So,
you know, you get the same kind of crazy, but
right.
but a different vibe of crazy when you're in NOLA. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
So I want you to give everyone kind of the novella story for the Deep Six series, because you do have a novella available to explain
right.
the series, kind of a prequel,
and
don't
it
you?
Is, right. It's a prequel, and it's free, and it was originally part of the Way of the Warrior anthology, which was a charity anthology that I, along with six other amazing romantic suspense authors, got together and put out.
We talked about it on this show. We did
exactly,
a show for that
exactly.
one.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
So that novella, or the entire anthology, is still available for purchase. If you want to support Way of the Warrior or other charities that support our wounded warriors. Since then, the novellas have been broken up, and they are released back to the authors so the authors can do whatever they want with them. And I put out my novella, which is the prequel for the Deep Six series, for free. So it's free anywhere ebooks are sold. People can go buy that. And it is called Hot as Hell by Julianne Walker. And it, like I said, is the prequel to the Deep Six series.
I want to say,
yep.
I really think, it, listeners, if you really want to just have a fun time and knowing all about what's going on with Julianne and all of her stories, what's happening with the Black Knights and the Deep Six guys, go to her website and sign up for the newsletter. I'm telling you, she's not a fanatic about sending it all the time. You're not going to be bombarded with emails, but you will also be able to go right from her page and get that novella for free. And that will kick off the series for you. And you're going to love it. I swear it, because when you did, when you did the anthology, that was a year ago almost, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's,
almost
yeah,
a year
more
ago.
Than a year ago. Yeah, more
yeah,
than a year
so,
ago. This past May would have been a year.
Yeah. So
right.
I think that you'll really love this series. So go and get that book. And so give us the premise for where these guys came from and how it all started.
Right. So these are six former Navy SEALs, and they were all in the same unit together. And they had a good buddy who you kind of find out in the first book what happened to him, so I won't do any spoilers. But they had a good
right.
buddy who was ready to leave. They were all sort of, you know, hem-hawing about whether they were ready to leave the Navy. These are all guys who have been in for a number of times. They feel sort of
right.
like they pressed their luck a bit. You know, they've all gone on these missions for so many years, and they've all come out alive. And so one of their buddies, who's been trying to talk them into getting out of the Navy SEALs, is killed in a mission. And he makes them promise before he draws his dying breath that they're going to, you know, go out and live life. These are guys in their mid-30s. They still have a lot of life left ahead of them. But if they keep taking these missions, chances are good that they're not going to continue to be as lucky as they have been, right? So he sort of...
Just the law of averages,
forces,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
He sort of forces them to give them their word that they're going to go out and live life. And what they decide to do is that they are going to... their leader, who was their lieutenant at the time, his father was a treasure hunter, and there's always been this sort of mystical fable about the Holy Grail of sunken Spanish shipwrecks, the Santa Cristina, and, you know, how she went down in a hurricane and all that stuff. And so he convinces his five friends to kind of throw in with him and go in search for this mystical sunken ship, and that's where the series starts. So that's sort of the overarching theme of the series, their hunt for the Santa Cristina. But each individual book follows each guy in the Deep Six series and his sort of search for love, but also because it's romantic suspense, there's also a suspense arc in each book. There's a story of suspense that, you know, generally doesn't have anything to do with the hunt for the Santa Cristina. It's something else. They're always taken away somewhere else where... you know, danger and bombs and guns and everything happens. So
the interesting
thing,
you know, there's so many parallels to living here in Florida and have been to the Keys so many times. Of course, the Atocha, the big
right.
Mel Fisher find. And that you can see stories about the Atocha everywhere when you're in the Keys.
Right.
I actually have
on Key West. Yes, absolutely.
Right.
So
and
you can
I
go there, you can see all the treasure.
From the, I have coins from
oh,
the
Oh, you
Atocha.
Do? That's amazing.
And, and, you know, those will stay in the lockbox forever because the value is so high right now. They weren't when I got them, actually, you know. So there's a big history and a lot of, like you said, the mythology about treasure hunters. You'll find on any street down in the Keys someone who is willing to tell you a story about treasure hunters.
Right.
And, of course, Mel Fisher was a big deal when, you know, rest his soul. He really changed a lot. I love this book. These set of books are kind of like caper books, but you're right. They're adventure, but not without the suspense, not without each one brings some, and it's very interesting how you pull the suspense, the danger part into it. When you think, how can something so innocuous as this
treasure hunting
well, and what happens to, you know, six former Navy SEALs, that's kind of how danger tends to follow them type of thing, so
that's how I kind of pull it in, is they have a past that keeps coming back to bite them in the ass type of thing.
It really does, and I love it. These are so much fun. I can't tell you enough how much, you know, I'm really blessed to be a reader for NetGalley, and I've gotten to read Julianne Walker's books and have loved every single one of them. I can't think of a negative. The newest one that's out.
Is that the negative?
Huh? No.
They're over too soon.
No, I want you to write them faster. I want faster. That's the thing. Now, but besides that, you know, in between writing, I know you and your husband, as I mentioned earlier, you love to travel. That's your thing.
Yes.
Your thing is to, I mean, almost like throwing a dart on a map saying, okay, that's where we're going next.
Yep.
So the last time I spoke to you, you said you wanted to go to South America. Did you ever make it to South America?
We didn't. There was a whole, I won't even get into it, but we sold our house, we bought a new house, we completely gutted and renovated a new house, and it took a lot more time and effort than we thought we were going to, so that sort of put the kibosh on some travel plans that year. But since that last time I talked to you, I think, so we did live this past winter, January and February, did live in New Orleans, and then I actually just got
in
back
Key
last
West.
Week.
In Key West.
New Orleans. Past year.
Key West was before, Exactly. Good.
So we just did New Orleans and, you know, got fat and happy on etouffee and shrimp and grits and stuff like that. And then
Absolutely.
Had to come back to the real world and work out extra hard. And then I just got back from a 2-week land and sea cruise to Alaska, which I can tell you, I just planned on using it as vacation, but there's a book there. Because
everybody
the landscape.
I know is going to Alaska. I have three friends who are in Alaska right now who don't, right now at this very minute, who don't know each other. And I want to say, let me give you each other's, you know, your, let me have you text each other. Everybody's going to Alaska.
I don't know.
the last wilderness, right? The last outpost.
Yeah, the last great frontier is what they call it. And it really is. It's a very almost bizarre and surreal feeling to go to Alaska. For one thing, in the summertime, because the sun, you only get about 4 hours of darkness. And so at 11:30 at night, you still see kids out on their bicycles because it's still light outside. So that's a very weird thing. You have to pay attention to your body clock, because your body clock, particularly for us in the lower 48, we get very confused. We see sunshine and we think it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's not. It's 11, you know, 12 o'clock at night. So that's another, you know, one of the reasons why it's surreal. But another reason is that you go there and you can be on a road between some of the major cities, and there's not very many, Fairbanks and Juneau. You know, so you're on these roads, but there are no telephone poles, no lines, no electrical lines. no anything. It is just you in the wilderness. And if you get off those roads, it's just miles and miles of untamed countryside.
Yeah.
And so you do get this feeling of, you do feel like it's sort of like a throwback. This is what the U.S. looked like 100, 200 years ago when you would get off the beaten path. You know, now you really can't go more than a few miles without seeing a telephone pole or, you know, electrical lines cutting across the country or whatever. But it's not like that in Alaska. It's very interesting. They said that there's only one set of electrical lines connecting Fairbanks to, and now I forgot, what's the other big city on the coast? My mind has gone blank. Not
Fairbanks. I don't know. You're asking the wrong question.
Anyway,
I don't know.
But anyway, so it's I don't know, it's really interesting. I think if anybody gets the chance to go up there, they definitely should. I mean, I got to see grizzly bears in the wild. I got to see wolves in the wild, caribou, bald eagles all
That's
over
really
the place.
Cool.
I can't even tell you, Pam. They sit on the telephone lines beside rivers waiting to catch salmon like pigeons sit in the city. I mean, just everywhere. And there are these majestic bald eagles. So it's very cool.
Anchorage is what you're thinking of.
Anchorage,
right?
That is what I'm thinking. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Anchorage. But anyway, yes, I got to see glaciers calving. I got to land on a glacier. We took a helicopter ride up to a glacier and landed on the glacier, which was an amazing thing. But then even more amazing on top of that is we actually saw an avalanche. The mountain around us, the snow had started to melt, so we heard this huge, like, rumble of sound in the valley as we're in the valley on this glacier, and the whole side of the mountain came down.
God.
Basically, we were safe. We were far enough away, but it was just an amazing, amazing sight. So, yeah, I can't say enough good things about it. If anybody ever has the opportunity to go take that trip, they should. They shouldn't wait. It's just phenomenal.
Wow, that's so cool. So this is what I want to do. I'm going to open up the phone lines. The number is 347-633-9609. First caller gets a copy of the first copy of the Devil in the Deep from the Deep Six Boys. You're going to love it. I'm going to go ahead and send you that out. So give us a call at 347-633-9609. So Hell and High Water is the second one. That's Brad Palladino's book. And it's so good. Brad Palladino is a doll. And he fights it every step of the way. He fights his attraction. He's just not going to fall in love. And that's all there is to it. So I'm talking to the wonderful Julianne Walker, who everybody knows her for her Black Knight Inc. books. Those are the biker covert ops boys, and these Deep Six are the not covert ops. They've left the SEALs, but they are on boats, but every bit as hot. So you were talking about Alaska, and it reminds me that, you know, there probably are a bunch of stories to tell. And one of your contemporaries, Kat Martin, writes a series of books. I think she's got three based in Alaska. And, you know, there are more men to women up there in Alaska, too, by the way. So.
Yes, there are. And I can tell you that they are very, the rough and tumble, very, you know, hewn men who live off the land type thing. So, you're in the market for a husband.
if you don't care about
20 hours of darkness in the winter, head on up to Alaska.
But you've got the Aurora Borealis. You've got men who know how to live off the land. And you're big and burly and probably a lot of fun to be around. So good on you, you know. Where's your next trip going to be? Where do you think you're going next?
Hopefully, maybe this fall, is we are going to try to do another cruise simply because it's easier for us up into, we want to do Sweden and Norway, and we want to hit St. Petersburg and Russia. We want to do that entire sort of series of islands and all that kind of stuff. So you get that knocked out, because we haven't been there. We've done most of Eastern and Western Europe, but we have not hit those Scandinavian countries. So it's time, and we've heard good things about the cruise that goes between the ports. My only question is, we have to do a little bit of research, is I really like to sort of settle in and get to know a place.
So
sure.
I would want to be docked at those ports for, you know, at least a day or two. And if they do, if the cruise line does what other cruise lines, particularly in the Caribbean, do, they, you know, they port in the morning and by the evening you're pulling out and you're going somewhere else,
exactly.
Right?
So for me, that's not quite enough time. I would like to, you know, spend time in Copenhagen and, you know, be able to say that I really know the city. I would like to go to St. Petersburg and really get to know the city. So we'll see.
Sure.
We're going to get up there. It may not be a cruise. If, you know, like I said, there's not enough time in port for me, but we're going to get out there and we're going to knock those countries out. And then I think we may have all of Europe at that point. So that'll be exciting.
I think you will. You've just about covered everything, and then I know you've been to the Orient, so, and then
yes.
you still want to do South America, and you've done
absolutely.
Have you done Australia, New Zealand? You've been.
We
right?
haven't, and we haven't done Australia and New Zealand, and Australia puts on a big romance writers conference every year. And they've invited me twice, and there's always been a scheduling conflict that I can't go. But this year, if there are any Australians out there, I
have
think
a lot
I'm
of
free.
Australian listeners. I have a lot of
so
I have
think
friends
I'm
there.
Free.
I got friends,
so
girls. I got friends.
Hook me up, Pam.
Would
Hook
that not be a riot? I swear that would be so cool. Well, I want to move on because I love the fact that even though I love the Deep Six books and I love the characters, these six guys are really hot and they're really fun. They've all got a sense of humor. And you just have to ask about the cat and the chicken and everything else. There's just
right.
all kinds of really cool things happening. But I want to go back to the beginning because my heart of hearts, even though I love these boys, has always been with the Black Knights. And I bet you anything, most of your readers think the same thing. Because it's such an unusual series, because of girl who's and her brother who really owned the shop. And
right.
from there, the stories flowed. You have plans for a book for quite a few more characters, don't you?
Right. So I run the numbers in my own head. So the eighth book in the Black Knights Incorporated series came out this past fall. And then I have three more books in the Black Knights Incorporated series coming out next year. The first one in April, and then I have one in July, and the one in October or November. I can't remember
exactly
which.
And I actually have those names. So Wild Ride is April of 2017.
Yep.
Fuel for Fire is July,
yep.
and then Hot Pursuit in October.
Yep.
I am thrilled that you are you're going to complete this series and, you know, maybe, I don't know, throw a novella in between or something, you know, just to keep us all happy.
Now you're sounding like my editor, Pam.
But, you know, I love your publisher. You know that. We love each other.
Yes.
I love them.
Yeah.
So, and I love your publicist, too. Although I always say, oh, you don't have to say anything. I'll just call Julie and talk to her. You know? It's a riot. It's like, okay. But I'm thrilled that you're doing that. Now, the book that just came out, in case you did not know, is called Too Hard to Handle. It was a lot of fun. So, if you have not had a chance to pick that one up, you've got to get Too Hard to Handle. You're going to love this book. It's a lot of fun. And every bit, Too Hard to Handle is about Dan the Man. And you are going to love him. You are going to love him. He's really great. And so
it's sort it's a second chance at love story. Not a second chance love story, but a second chance at love story in the first book in the series, he's actually married and we see his wife die in the first book. And then, you know, for the rest of the books in the series, we see him struggling with grief and loss and he spends some time at the bottom of a bottle and he has to sort of pull himself up and shake himself off and try to get over it through these numbers of years that these books are going on. And then finally, in the book previous, in book 7, we kind of see him meet someone and maybe try for the first time to come out of his shell and, you know, maybe for the first time believe that it's possible for him to love again. And then in his book, Too Hard to Handle, she sort of pursues him when he's on one of his missions. And he does, he realizes that his heart is big enough to love more than one woman in his life, and that, you know, all that stuff. So it's, yeah, it's, and I actually have a really tough time with, when I read books myself, with widowers or widows finding love again. The story has to be told just right for me to sort of sink my teeth into it and go, you know what? Yeah.
Sure.
The human heart has a infinite capacity for love. You know, you can love someone with your whole heart. And if something happens, then you can love someone else again with your whole heart, that there's no limit
that's
to what
right.
love can do. So,
that's right.
That's his story. And I hope I did it well. I got good response from the fans. So hopefully they sunk their teeth in and believe that Dan could love twice in his life.
So here's what I want to ask you on from a reader to the writer. You're going to have 12 books in this series, in the BKI series, the Black Knight series.
Right.
And I like the fact, so my comment first is, I like the fact that you pull, like you did with Dan, you pull him from the first book and from book number 7 a little bit. And
right.
put him in his own
right.
story. So that there's consistency. So that someone doesn't make an appearance and we don't hear from him again. Because all of the guys for Black Knights are very important in their own right. They are collectively
right.
important. But each
right.
of them has an individual story that needs to be told. So when you're writing these, Julie, do you have a storyboard? How do you keep all of their
right.
individual stories – you know, so they
so,
flow from one to the next, and then
right.
beyond that, how do you decide whose turn it is? Because,
so
you know, you it doesn't fall in any natural order that I can see.
Right. Well, it doesn't fall in any natural order that you can see, but for me, I have known whose book is where in the series since the moment I put pen to paper on the first book. So for me, all of this has been laid out for a number of years, since 2011, when I started writing the first book in the series. So I have this, I call it my series Bible, which basically has these pages and pages of character descriptions. So all the guys and the girls, what their motivation is, what their history is, why they are the way they are, what their story will sort of be. I don't know exactly what the story will be, but I sort of know. You know, I kind of know where they're going to start out and where they're going to end, and what happens in the middle is up to the characters as I'm writing.
Right.
But yeah, so that has been in place since the first book. And so even though readers have been, you know, they don't quite know who's going to be next, because sometimes I'll introduce secondary
right.
characters and they're, you know,
right.
the spark of their love interest for one another. And everyone assumes that that's going to be the next book, and then it's not. So,
well, you know, because the story that sticks out most in my mind is Becky Reichert's story, because
right.
she is
right.
the designer. I mean, she's like the wizard.
Right.
Of
right.
everything, and her brother Bill, Wild Bill.
Right.
And it's
right.
you know, and I tell you what I loved about Wild Bill, because he's the reader in the group, and I
yes,
love that so much about his character, because you know he's so well versed, but when someone looks at him, they're like, huh? Well, yeah,
right.
what are you talking about? And he's quoting books and all that. And I'm like,
right.
that's a man after my own heart, because as you know, you know I read like
yes.
400 books a year and I don't have a TV.
Right.
So naturally that
right.
character got me. But as far as Sex on a Stick, I have to tell you that Ross Babineau did it for me.
Well,
he
was
so good.
Who doesn't love a Cajun? Right? Who doesn't
oh,
love the Cajun?
Oh, my God.
Love language in French. So, yeah.
Oh,
you're not the only one.
God.
A lot of people really loved Rock. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
He was really great. You know, every time he said share, and I'm thinking, oh, yes, right now. I'm on the ground. I'm waiting. Come on. Let's go.
But, you know, it's funny because
So I do think that he was crazy sexy. He's this Cajun. But I have had fan mail from the very beginning begging for Ozzy's story, which to me, Ozzy's, I didn't expect that when I first started the series, because he's sort of a techno geek. He's nerdy.
Right.
He, you know, likes 80s hair bands and all that stuff. But people love his characters and have been foaming at the mouth for his book, which I'm happy to say is the one that comes out in April of next year, Wild Ride.
Oh.
So fans will finally get to see Ozzy brought to his knees. So it's written, it's done, it's through the editing, it's through the editing process. My editor loves it, my agent loves it, so hopefully I did right by him. I was a little nervous going into writing his book.
For anybody who has
go ahead.
I want to say that to go to your website and go look at the, it's probably not the final art on it, but go and look at the picture for Wild Ride. Oh my God. Oh my God. That you can't put that on Facebook because, you know, they won't let you, they won't let you have that picture on there. That's to tell you how good that's to tell you what that looks like there and how good it is.
Oh, yummy, yum, yum, yum.
Goodness.
So we talked a little bit earlier before we got going, we talked about, well, there you go. There's your initial 12. You know, can no one else be inducted into the group? Can we not adopt another stray or something and bring them in?
I know, no one wants that series to end. Yes.
No one wants the series to end. It is, you know what, I think probably from your standpoint, it's the joy and the bane of every writer to have a series that's so popular and so well-loved that no one wants to see it end.
Right.
Especially because you've given yourself 12 characters to start with.
Right.
And even though they interact with other people and they find their wives and their girlfriends and everything else, how do you feel about potentially ending this series?
Bittersweet. In the one respect, I'm going to be happy that it's over, because as a writer, you know, part of the joy for me is the newness, the coming up with characters and scenes and all that stuff. So there hasn't been that for me in terms of the BKI series for a while, but these stories have been in my head for a number of years now, so it hasn't been new.
Right.
So I do miss that newness. But then I got to tell you, because I have lived with these characters for so long and I have known their stories for so long, it's going to be sad to let them go to, you know, type that final, the end, which I haven't put in any of my books. I don't know if you've sort of.
No, I know
that,
they're never there. Right.
There,
never
you
there.
Know, there's never a the end because the story is ongoing. We may, you know, see one hero find his happily ever after and then we move on to the next hero. But the series is continuing on and there is a series arc through the series, which means that it hasn't ended yet. So it will be a little sad for me when I finally type those two words, the end, and I have to let go of these characters. Of course, they're always going to live with me, but I will have told their stories, you know. So it will be sad. There won't be any moving forward. I don't know. My editor keeps getting on my butt and asking me to, like you said, introduce some new blood. But we'll just see. I feel like there was 12 at the beginning. There should be 12 at the end, and then it should be over. And we'll see. There may be some sort of spinoff. Also, we'll see what we can do.
Well, you know, you never know. You could bring them back for one super huge mission where everyone's involved.
Right.
You never know how those things are gonna are gonna really happen.
True.
Now,
and
but in the meantime,
where the muse will strike. Go ahead.
There you go. That's right. There it is. The inspiration is going to come to you. Now, with the Deep Six books, you do have six characters, the main characters in this particular story group and this series, but you're not writing again until 2018, another Deep Six book, correct?
Well, I'll actually start writing it next year, but the next Deep Six will not debut until 2018. But then we'll see, because at that point, the last Black Knights Incorporated book will have debuted, and so I suspect after book 3 in the Deep Six series, I know this is getting technical for people who don't know the two series, But after the third one in the Deep Six series, I will have time to focus solely on getting those last three in the Deep Six series out. So what I suspect will happen between my publisher and myself is that those will release back to back to back. So, yes, people will have to wait for a while between the next one, but then 4, 5, and 6 will come out very quickly afterwards. So it'll sort of
Are you thinking of a new series snowball yet?
Absolutely.
Are you thinking of you are? Oh, could he? I don't suppose any exclusives on this show you can give me kind of like one or two words?
I will tell you that it's going to be a short series. It's not going to be a long series like my previous ones. It's going to be a trilogy. And it's going to be set in New Orleans. And
I
think it's going to be all the action and the thrills and the romance that readers are used to from me, and the humor, and you know, and the funny animals and stuff that comes that I like to throw into my book. But it's going to be a scotch different too, just like the Deep Six series was a scotch different from Black Knights Incorporated. I can't continue to just churn out the same book time after time because, like I said, it sort of makes me lose my joy. I like the newness of each book in each series and set of characters. So I think it's going to be a trilogy.
I think that's amazing. I love it. And, you know, here's the one thing I can say about you, Jules, is that nobody writes dialogue the way you do. I don't know anyone who can write dialogue the way you do. It is.
Okay. Is that good or is that bad?
That is magnificent.
Okay,
it is so spot on. It is so brilliant, and it is so funny. It's so sarcastic. It's so smartass. It's so you that I love every single time. I know. I could tell you what. If I was listening to a book, someone said, "I'm putting in, and you know, I'm going to make you listen to Audible, and I want you to describe this author." I would know in a heartbeat it was you because of your dialogue. It is truly what makes reading every single one of your books such a joy.
Oh, good.
Truly.
I'm so happy you said that because I do angst a bit about the dialogue. I really do, I twist it and turn it and keep working at it until my editor finally rips the book out of my hands and it's like, it's done.
I love it. But you have a very unique voice in romantic suspense. Now, you know that I read cross-genre. You and I have talked about this before.
Right.
I love reading cross-genre. I love romantic suspense. No one has your gift for dialogue. No one. I don't know any person who has your gift for dialogue.
Thank you.
It's so unique, and it's so perfect, and it fits your characters so well. Writing from the male POV – and the dialogue is so spot on because, you know, I think all of us know a couple of those rogues who are kind of flippant, but they're smart.
Right.
They're flip.
Right.
And you know, they're hot, but they're not really sure they're hot, but they think they are. And your dialogue is so right on. It's so great. And this is the thing. Every time I read you in NetGalleon, I'm always saying, best dialogue of any author I ever knew. You know, best dialogue of any author I ever knew. And it's really true. It's terrific. Congratulations on two fabulous series. Yes, you wish.
Thank you. I wish that I could take credit for all the good dialogue, but I got to tell you that I actually steal a lot from my husband. I say that he is a well of guy-isms because he does. He talks like my characters a lot of the times. He just is funny and snarky. And
I love it.
And
so often he's
sitting there talking to me and I go, wait. And I take out my phone and I write down whatever he said because I'm like, my characters would say this.
Okay, so he has to definitely come on one time because I love snark more than anything in the world. To me, you know, you've got to become a member of the Smart Ass Society to like rate with me. I love it so much. And so snark is really, really important and no one does it better than you. And please, a tip of the hat to your husband from me. Okay.
I'll tell him that. Yes,
please
you notice
do.
That he gets the kudos in the back of all of my books, and that's because like I said, a lot of them are, a lot of that dialogue that you, that snappy dialogue you love so much is all thanks to him. He just comes up with some of the most hysterical stuff ever.
I know that. But you know something, you guys are a really good team, and that's kudos to you, because I think you both are great, and I'm so glad you came back. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And,
thank
you.
Know, always, anytime.
Do you ever go to any of the conferences by any chance?
I do. Usually I go to Romance Writers of America, but that's pretty much writer-oriented.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to tell you about RWA.
Okay.
Next year it's in Orlando, Florida.
Orlando. Yes, it is.
Yeah. And your friend Pam from Authors on the Air is going to be there.
She is. Well, then done. I got to go, right?
There you go. You have to. You have to. Because my one of my senior book, you know, we have a professional book reviewers on staff. And so one of my senior reviewers is all, she and I are, we're marching our fannies in there. We're going to do live remotes. And who would be better at co-hosting with me than you? We would have a ride.
No one. That's right.
Yeah.
Just the
okay.
two of us. We're the perfect pair. Okay. Done
you
and done.
Go. So next year, all right? Ladies and gentlemen, I've been talking to the magnificent Julianne Walker, my friend for years now. Gosh, she's just one of my most favorite people to have on the radio. Go and look at her website, juliannewalker.com. Sign up for the newsletter and go get the free novella that introduces you to the Deep Six men, the Navy SEALs from Deep Six. And you're going to love the treasure hunting. You really will. And follow along with her. Go make sure you write reviews. That's the best thing you can do for an author. Go to Amazon, go to Goodreads, go to Barnes & Noble, go to BAM, go to any place where you buy your books, and please write a review. Julianne, I love you dearly. You know that, don't you?
Oh, I do. I do. That's why I keep coming back.
I'm so glad you do. And do it again, okay?
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, Julianne Walker, thank you so much, Jules. And you and I will talk soon, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye, Pam. Thank you.
Good night, honey. Bye. And thank you so much for being with me. You're the best. Go read a Julianne Walker book. And thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.